Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As we bring November to a close, we remind you that this is No Shave November, a time to encourage men to focus on prostate health. Well, on this Medical Monday, we're asking about overall health. Why is it so difficult to get black men to see a doctor? My guests are Dr. Pamela Coleman, urologist and surgeon at Howard University Hospital, and Cootie Mack, nutritionist, personal trainer, and fitness guru. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Cootie, good to see you. Dr. Coleman, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so according to a study published this summer by Very Well Health, black men have the worst health when compared to any other racial group in America. They live 7 fewer years than other racial groups. They have higher death rates, including higher rates of heart disease. What's going on here, Dr. Coleman?
What's going on here? That's a very good question. I think in general, black men have a fear of going to see the doctors. Some of it is based in rational thinking, and some of it is irrational.
What's the difference? What's the rational and the irrational?
Well, the rational sometimes goes back to the history of what has happened to African-American men, and I look specifically at the syphilis event several years ago.
When you mean the Tuskegee experiment, for example.
The Tuskegee experiment, yeah. Example, right, where black men were given syphilis, and then they were denied the treatment for syphilis, and they were used for experimentation process.
Mm-hmm. But, so that's the rational. So what's the irrational?
The irrational is the fear of the unknown, I believe. The fear of what the doctor may say to them, the fear of what the doctor may, quote, do to them, the fear of what may happen when they learn different things that may help them to be healthier.
Mm-hmm. Cootie, you see a lot of black men in, yeah. I was about to say in your practice, but
I'm pretty scientifically.
Yeah, so. I know. I get you. When you are training men to be more fit, and you encourage them to be healthier. But do you have conversations with them about going to see a doctor regularly? Is that something that ever comes up?
It always comes up. You know me, in addition to exercise, nutrition and the physician are the two things that I would say separate me a little bit when it comes to me being a personal trainer and nutritionist, because my scorecard, I take the personal and personal training very seriously, and I personally invested in someone's health. I know somebody might want to look good in certain instances, but I know that if I got you from the inside, you'll look good on the outside. And so while they may look at their body fat percentage, they may look at their weight as a scorecard as to how well we're doing, I want to know how well they're doing with the doctor. Because that's what got me in this field in the first place. So basically, I am always nagging them. I'm more on top of when my clients' doctor's visits and annual physical checkups are than they are most of the time.
Why don't they go? Wow. What do they tell you?
Sometimes it's a thing where they just don't. They think they know because they feel all right. And but thinking you know is way more expensive than knowing. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, you know, I got into this business because my father had a high blood pressure incident. And on the surface, he was a slim guy. He ran 8 miles a day, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. And yet he had a high blood pressure incident that almost took him out. And I watched him flatline twice in the span of 9 days. And that was the catalyst for me becoming who I am now. So I know that you can look a certain way think you feel a certain way, think you know everything, but actually have a whole hell breaking loose in your body. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I am adamant about trying to help people fix themselves, you know, through nutrition, through exercise and healthier habits. So my scorecard is always the doctor, no matter what the scale says. And when I see triglyceride levels and when I see HDL and LDL levels going where they're supposed to go, I see lipids coming down, I see blood glucose levels starting to even out, I see blood pressure reducing, normalizing, that's when I know that I've done my job.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about black men and their health on this Medical Monday. Why is it so difficult to get them to go to see a doctor? And what can happen if they do not? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Clarence. What's on your mind? Clarence, are Hello? You there? Yes, go right ahead.
Yes. I'd like to applaud all of you gentlemen for hosting this show to talk about a very serious issue.
And we have a lady, Dr. Coleman, as well, but please go right ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. My sister, Dr. Coleman, as well. This is a very, very important topic because as black men, this is one of the things that we avoid doing, and that's going to the doctors on a regular basis, which we realize that if we do that, we will be in a better position as far as our health, being able to earn income for our families and just be around for our loved ones if we just take the time and take care of this small step. And that's going to get our physicals, going to get our eyes checked, going to our dental appointments, and just the basic overall maintenance of our well-being is very important. Thank you for hosting this show, Harold. I do appreciate it.
Thank Absolutely, you. Clarence, and thank you for your comments. Dr. Coleman, he just ran it down. He just gave that a virtual physical. What is the issue that, based on your experience, is most difficult for black men to face, even in going for checkups? Is it the prostate, as No Shave November really tries to focus on, or are there just other issues?
Well, there are other issues, but let's take the prostate first. The prostate is in an area that you can't see it, you can't feel it, you may not even know about it. And the best way, or one of the best ways, is to learn about it is talking with your physician. Now, you can go online, and again, what you read online, what you see online, you can talk to your other friends. But your physician or your healthcare provider is the best one that's going to help you to understand prostate health and your own specific prostate health. Now, why men may not come, sometimes men feel they're going to come. And I've often heard men say, well, I don't want to have the exam, I'll do the blood test. But the exam is very important. It's not a violation. It's actually a natural exam that we have to do to check your prostate to make sure that it feels normal.
Mm. But you mentioned other issues even outside of the prostate. What are the other concerns that the men are somewhat reticent to face when there are questions in their own minds about their health as they begin to age? After, and I'm talking about after 30, not just after 50 or what have you, but after 30, for example.
Well, let's say after 30, for example, I think men are sometimes reticent to face their, and even people in general, their own immortality. They're also reticent to face their own health issues. Maybe they have seen a loved one or someone pass away. Maybe they're also reticent for economic factors. Maybe they feel that when they come, will they be able to afford a hospital visit? Will they be able to afford the health care? And I think this also, all of these factors plays a big role in why men don't come to the doctors.
I actually have an experience of my own. So I am 46. I'm 46, and I'm a nerd. I'm very, very, I was about to use a euphemism, but I'm not going to use it. But I was going to say, I'm very anal about my...
Hey, we're keeping it real here.
Very,
right
very
now,
anal but, about my prostate.
Yeah, right.
So I might go for two or three physicals a year. And so my doctor tells me, well, you know, as a black man, you know, these health statistics that we talked about at the beginning of the show, these are things you have to consider. So although at typically at age 50, we have men have this prostate exam, but colonoscopy. Because you're black, we want to do it at 45. So I asked this question. I said, okay, I am black. I said, now, just so we're clear, I said, as I'm going through all the prep, because I'm getting all this stuff, and I was like, okay, I have no problem doing anything that's good for me. But before I do this, let me know, is this because I'm black or because I'm African? Because, you know, my blood is Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up eating mostly Nigerian food, like most of this, like, you know, soul food and all that kind of stuff I wasn't even introduced to till I was, like, college.
Mm-hmm. So you got here.
Yeah. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, is this about me being black or about me being African-American to you? And mm-hmm. the doctor is Indian. And he was like, wow, nobody's ever asked me that question. So I said, but you know what? I'm going to keep going. You know, mm-hmm. so I said, let's keep going. And so then I called insurance, and insurance was like, well, we're not going to cover this for you because you're electing to do this because our insurance states that you shouldn't be doing this till you're 50.
Until you're 50, right.
I said, yes, but my doctor said I should do it because I'm 45 because I'm black. And they kicked it back. So then I start going up the chain of command at the insurance company, and I finally say, now, do you guys have these same statistics about black men and them needing this test early? They said yes. I said, okay, then why don't you cover my procedure? They said no, because you're not 50. So I was like, well, how much is it going to cost? And it was like $3,000 or $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And now me, Mr. Anal about my prostate, I was like, I'm not paying $5,000 for that.
Mm-hmm. And see,
I have no fear of the doctor, but I was like, I'm not doing it.
And that's an interesting thing, because what he's, you know, talking about is disparity, and he's asking intelligent questions. How do you get your patients to drill down, Dr. Coleman, on intelligent questions, or the people that may accompany them, whether they're into their partners or their wives or girlfriends or what have you? Is that also a conversation that you talk to them about advocating for themselves?
That's definitely a conversation that all physicians need to have with their patients, about advocating for themselves. And some of that, having that conversation, stems from the patient being educated what they need to advocate for, because sometimes they may not know what they need to advocate for. For example, you're talking about a man, African, Nigerian, black, over 40, 45, 50. Well, there are some controversies about what type of examinations that particular man should have. Now, we know in African American population, because of some of the hereditary characteristics, let's say a prostate cancer, that those men, probably over 40, should start getting their initial screening for prostate cancer, meaning a prostate blood test and a digital rectal examination. This may or may not apply to all men of color, but certainly to some men. But that conversation has to start with your doctor, with your physician, so that you can get accurate information. And then that conversation has to be lobbied with our representatives in Congress and special mm-hmm. places to make sure that they are also aware that these things need to be done, that there is a difference between the health care of African-American, people of color, black men, Nigerian men, mm-hmm. that is not the same as Caucasian.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're focusing on black men and black male health tonight. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's talk to Renee, calling from D.C. Hey, Renee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you. I think this is such a great topic to talk about. This affects me personally, because my father died from lung cancer, and my father was actually, he was only 63 when he died, and he was trying to upgrade his life insurance policy, and he just went in to upgrade his life insurance policy and had to have a doctor's appointment and was diagnosed with stage 4 of lung cancer. Mm. And it was really, you know, devastating when I got that phone call at work saying that my father had lung cancer, because for the longest time he smoked, but he stopped smoking. And I was like, oh, well, wow, he didn't, you know, get it. I always was afraid that he would get it. But, you know, when I think about why, because my father had signs to me. He was always telling me about taking care of my health. And I go to the doctors on a regular basis because I have health challenges. But, you know, I always was telling him, I said, Dad, you have this cough that's just not right. And something is wrong, something you need to check it out. But I when I think about it, in retrospect, I think that a lot of reasons why black men don't go, because they're afraid of losing control of their life.
Hmm.
You know, they're afraid that they have to become real vulnerable. And, you know, being a black man in general in this world, you have challenges. And, you know, it's a challenge to stay alive being a black man. So I think that they think about all these things that they have to deal with.
Okay.
And they just don't want to be vulnerable to that. But I wish that he had taken the same advice that he had given me about being on top of his health.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about black men and black male health. Why is it so difficult to get them to go to see a doctor and to focus on their health? How can you convince them to go? Will, calling from Dallas, Texas, you're next. We're also going to talk to Rudy from D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll keep talking about it. Lines are open. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a Medical Monday, and we're focusing on black men and black male health. We're asking, why is it so hard to get black men to see a doctor? My guests are Dr. Pamela Coleman. She's a urologist and surgeon at Howard University Hospital in Cootey Mac. He is a nutritionist, personal trainer, and fitness guru. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rudy, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Rudy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sure.
So, if any, I think where it's difficult for African American men to see a doctor is one, the cost, as the one doctor was claiming how that there's a difficulty for economically for African American men to actually go see a doctor. I know for myself, I try to see a doctor like almost 2-3 times a year, as opposed to going for my annual checkup. And I know for some individuals, it's just hard enough just to find that time to go the one time for a doctor's appointment, whether it's for prostate, for any blood work or anything else. And so I feel that because the cost to get preventative, getting preventative care, is just it's an impact to some individuals. That's my opinion.
Okay. Rudy, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Will, calling from Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling, Will. What's on your mind?
Hey, Hal. How we doing?
I'm doing okay.
Panel, how we doing?
All
hey,
right.
There's a little proof, and sometimes we feel that we're being tested. Sometimes we feel that they're doing things to us that they're not doing to other people. I think insurance plays a part of it, but by me being a Desert Storm vet, I have about 9 things that's under that Desert Storm umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
The worst being the fibromyalgia. When they tried to give me the medicine for the fibromyalgia, me not wanting to take a lot of pills and stuff like that, I opted no, I'm not going to take the pill. So I did ask my doctor at VA, I said, let me have the CBD oil. And she said, no, it's not FDA approved.
What is that?
So I went, the CBD oils, it comes from the marijuana plant, but they take the cannabis out. So
right, they take the THC out. Yeah, I think. Okay, now, go right ahead.
If you remember, FDA just approved about 2 weeks ago, and the stores can't even keep it in there now.
Right, yeah.
But when I asked her for that, she told me, no, it's not FDA approved.
Okay.
But I went to my records. I said, well, wait a minute, Doc. If you remember, you tried to give me mesalamine for my, vertigo.
But, well, without going too much into the weeds, I think one of the points that you have made is that you are trying to stay on top of your health.
Oh, I do. I do, Hal. I got supplements that I got with United Healthcare. I got VA. And everything them guys got on top of the hill,
mm-hmm.
I got the same insurance they got because I am military retired.
Exactly.
So I go all the time. Matter of fact, I was just cleared, and I've never heard of this. I've been going to the doctor for prostate cancer. I've been, you know, clean 9 years, but I was also going for the Barrett's esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been taking the medicine for it for 15 years.
Yeah.
I went and got a colonoscopy and an endoscopy on the 18th of last month. The results came back. They said I don't have Barrett's disease.
So here's my question, Will, because you are going. Are your friends that you interact with, are you having conversations with them about going? Are they as proactive about their health as you are?
Yes.
They are.
When you go to VA, Hal, you sit in a room where it's like maybe 15 soldiers in there or veterans,
mm-hmm.
and you hear a lot of them that don't even go to another doctor. They trust in what VA is telling them.
Okay.
And I try to tell them VA is about the money.
Mm-hmm.
If they can give you 70%, they're going to do that. Why, this guy over here is getting 100%. Because he gets nosebleeds.
Okay.
So, in a way, sometimes we do feel like we're being tested or that we're not as important. But, you know, there is a financial, political thing gained in the medical field as well, too. So,
well, I don't want to get down into the politics of this conversation because, you know, the politics don't help if you have heart disease. The politics don't help if your prostate
is, Harold,
yeah.
Not to cut you off, but I'm going to tell you it does. Because I talked to a guy in VA they gave him 6 months to live. And VA just kept kicking his claim back. So the politics is there.
But not everybody is a veteran. And I think the point that we're making is you can sit at home and talk about the politics, or you can go see your doctor, or see another doctor if, you know, and I think that's the thing I do want to focus on tonight. But thank you, Will.
You're right.
And I definitely want you to continue to go and stay in the best of health.
And I'll stay in there.
And thank you so much.
I got a bed in all they offer.
See, there you go. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
The other thing that I did want to bring up, Dr. Coleman, because every time we have these conversations, we keep hearing about the Tuskegee experiment. And this is my opinion. I think at some point we need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, and that's the political issue. Yeah, I understand it. My grandfather talked about it and he still went to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My father, as I often say, he was an army captain. He's 81. He's alive and kicking, just not kicking quite as high. He's also a student of history. He's very familiar with the Tuskegee experiment. He still goes to see a doctor. And I think that how do we move beyond that, you know, that part of our history, which was steeped in racism to 2018 and beyond, to understand that if we don't trust a doctor, that we find one that we do trust. Isn't that really the focus of it?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, certainly we have to learn from history, but there are things in place nowadays that hopefully that type of experimentation does not and will not take place again. So like you said, we have to move forward and we have to look at ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror. We see a picture of ourselves, but we cannot see all that is going on with the inside of ourselves. And this is where it's very helpful, I think, should go to your doctor, to talk to your doctor. And you may walk out of there with, you know, believe it or not, very good news. You might learn something about yourself. You may be happy. It's not all of it is doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to come and educate yourself.
Oh, and one of the challenges when it comes to healthcare too is just finding a doctor. It could be like it's something like finding a church. You know, the church that works for me may not work for the next person. So it's finding someone that you do trust and someone that maybe whether it's, you know, now we have apps like Yelp and things of that nature where you can kind of, you know, see people's grades on different physicians, but finding a physician that you trust. And then even the way insurance works now, which is one of the things that is, I think, a bit of a hindrance, is you can go to something where they just send you to Kaiser and you don't have a doctor. You just go to see some doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been about that. I've been fortunate enough that either the insurance that I had when I did work for people was adequate enough for me to pick my doctor and stay with them. Honestly, there have been times where if my insurance did not allow me to see the doctor I wanted to see, then I changed insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I just went out. But again, I come from a background where, you know, I got a lot of doctors and pharmacists and nurses in my family. So even at my worst, lowest financial point as an adult, my mother was like, you always got to have health insurance. Yeah. Now, some people don't prioritize it that way. Some people don't feel like they can, or don't feel like they can afford it, or just not in the position to get health care. And that gets into politics.
Right.
But that's where I think it gets a little sticky, because when you look at how institutionally some people are just throwing a curveball when it comes to just being able to see somebody, let alone somebody that they can trust, somebody that they know, somebody that they refer to, that's where it gets kind of sticky.
And access, certainly, depending on your socioeconomic status, as you mentioned, whether or not you have insurance, are there doctors in your community, do you have transportation to see a doctor, and we could go on and on and on. And so obviously, those are some of the other contributing factors to health and disparities, which, you know, Dr. Coleman, I'm sure you know well. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nathaniel calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Nathaniel, go right ahead. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Hey, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Thanks for this honor.
Sure.
Yeah, I tend to think that the so-called black man, he functions off of what he's taught. Some of the things that he's taught wasn't reinforced if they were taught correctly. A lot of times there are fears of maltreatment or mistreatment and experimenting, you know, so that within itself brings about insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
We know that consciously it's always better to know than not to know.
Right.
Because we can act on what we know, and what we don't know, we can't. So the insurance company works for the insurance company. You spend all this money with the insurance company. At the end of the day, when they have to pay out, They raise your premium.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot of factors we need to look at. And I think the most important thing is that we as men on an individual level, we come into contact with another man or woman, we need to just reinforce the educational factor. That's the highest source of commodity. Nothing else is going to save us if we don't move on what we know.
Yeah, well said. Well said, Nathaniel. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lynette calling from Maryland. Hey, Lynette, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I have two young sons. They're in their early 30s. And the problem that I see with them, and it's probably a problem with other black men, the reason why they don't go to the hospital or go to the doctors, because my sons don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of costs. They don't know how to go about applying, that sort of thing. I tried several times to help, but to no prevail. And that's the issue I'm having, because my sons, you know, I can't even remember the last time they even seen a doctor, you know. And it's kind of scary because of some of the things y'all were saying, that things that may develop, and it may be too late for them. And I don't want it to be too late for them. And I try and talk to them, but, you know, them being young men, you know, they listen, but then they don't listen. But not to say that they don't want the help. They would like to know how to go about applying for health insurance.
Let me ask you, Lynette, what do they do for a living?
They're truckers.
Okay. So
they go out on the road, that sort of thing, cross country, that sort of thing.
Independent truckers, do they work for a company? Does the company
They work for a company that doesn't have any insurance.
Okay. So what would you recommend for them, Dr. Coleman?
One thing I think your sons might want to, and people in general, take advantage of a lot of the health screening programs that we have available in this area, which are free. There are annual health screening programs at different hospitals.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. Once a year, there's health screening. Yes. And at these health screening programs, they're free. Your sons or people, they can come and get their blood pressure checked, their cholesterol, HIV, their eyes, almost everything that they need to at least initiate that process of taking control of their health care. So,
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I wasn't aware of that. And we've been in this area. Well, in fact, they're born and raised here in this area. Well, in the D.C. area. But I never knew that type of service was available, free service like that.
Yes, it is available. And it's on an annual basis. I would just say here at Howard, we have annual screenings for all the different factors that affect African-American men, particularly the blood pressure, cholesterol, like I said, the prostate, everything.
Right.
And so you can contact the hospital and see when the screening is going to take place and
And
get that done. Yes. And then that will also open up a world of opportunity to them. Perhaps also there's information available on getting health insurance. So there are a lot of things available here.
Okay. I want to make sure that I understand. So if they were to call Howard University, what are they asking for? They're asking for a free health screening?
Yes. If they
at the hospital, correct?
At the hospital. But the other thing that we have found is that it is very important for us to take the screening to the community. And we have been, yes, I think this has proven a lot in terms of going to church activities. We just had, like, November, men's health screening, prostate cancer screening, breast cancer screening, where we go actually out to the church, out to the site. We take our prostate mobile van, our physicians, the doctors. Yes. And so we're taking it to the people. So I know a lot of times people try to, put an excuse, I don't have this, I don't have that, or,
right.
You know, but we can take those excuses away.
They're young, you know.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
They're both like 32 years old, they're twins.
And let me also offer, because they are, you know, they're truckers, and I'm sure they're moving around quite a bit. If you just Google Community Health Screenings Maryland.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Just Google that. There are a long list of opportunities from, various medical organizations, so that if, for example, Howard University doesn't have one that is immediately convenient, there may be other resources that may happen. Community organizations do them quite a bit. And like Dr. Coleman said, churches do them. Now, certainly, you may not find anything happening in December. These are the holidays. But around the first of the year, these things are popping up all the time. They're for dental work, blood work, HIV. And because they are young men, this is certainly the time, eyes and the like. And I would just recommend, and I'm sure, Cootie, you would also agree.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed, because if you don't address it now, you could pay for it later.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, y'all, for having this topic.
You're quite welcome.
I was driving on my way home when I heard, I said, oh, my God, let me call about my boys.
Okay. You know? Well, yeah, because, I mean,
so
you,
I really
you,
but that's how it starts.
Y'all. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's how it starts.
Yeah,
you
never stop raising them, Lynette.
I know, right?
So good luck to you. I need
well,
to take a
you
break.
Very much.
You're quite welcome. You are quite welcome. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back as we continue to focus on this Medical Monday about black men and health. Stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about black men and overall health on this Medical Monday. Why is it so hard to get black men to see a doctor? That conversation with Lynette, I think, was really fascinating, and it was very telling, because even Dr. Coleman, even if you don't, as a black man, if you don't focus on your own health, it's always good to have someone in your life who is focusing on your health.
Yes, yes, that's true. And very often, it could be a mother, it could be a sister, it could be a brother, aunt or uncle, but someone else who's helping you and maybe just giving that extra edge to push you into the doctor's office to see your physician, or to look at your nutrition and your overall, your health, you know, what you're eating.
Right.
And not necessarily all, some of it is what you're eating, but how you're preparing what you're eating is very important. I think that's.
And also things that you do just for simple wellness, like speaking specifically about African-American men. There's a lot of burden that we walk around carrying on our shoulders just day to day that doesn't necessarily get accounted for. But stress is a factor when it comes to your blood pressure and a host of other maladies that we have. So if you have that on top of, you know, malnutrition, you have that on top of, you know, inactivity, you have that on top of not going to screenings, it can all go bad really fast.
And for those who do have insurance, and I've said this for years, we know that insurance is expensive. Mm-hmm. And the best insurance often is extremely expensive. If you are, you know, a working slug like me and you're paying for it, use it.
Use it.
Use your insurance, yes. Man, and know what the benefits are. This is, I know, open season for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Before you push the button on open season, make sure that you understand those benefits and what is available. And what you may need, what your family may need, because if you're dropping, you know, $300 or $500 a month for you and or your family, use that stuff. Go see the doctor and use all of those benefits. My goodness, it is so important. Last week we were talking about what you're thankful for, and that was one of the things that I did say, because I have a daughter who's a type 1 diabetic, so I pay a lot of money for insurance. I make sure that she's covered. I make sure that I'm covered, because if you don't go now, you will go later.
And it's even more expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we, I've got about, you know, 5 minutes left or so. How do we convince those black men to step up their health game? It's not instant gratification. This is the long haul. Health is a marathon. How do you get them to pay attention?
I mean, even in my case, as much of a zealot as I am now, it still took my father literally dying in front of me twice, but not for good.
Right.
For me to be like, whoa. And ever since then, I've just been proselytizing and, you know, just preaching to everybody. And so it's not because I'm flawless, but it's because I recognize my flaws, and I recognize the flaws that we have as humans. And so make it, the more you talk about something, the less uncomfortable it is to talk about. You know, like, I don't think I would have been able to talk about a colonoscopy, you know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but now it's like, whatever. I can talk about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I still might need my doctor to put on some slow jams before the prostate. But, you know, that's just what happens,
and
know.
Anything to get you there.
It gets me through. But talking about these things, I mean, I had a conversation with my brother not too long ago. There was like a intimate conversation about some things, about some man stuff. And it was just like, when we were finished, you were just like, whew, man, it was good to talk about that. So just talk about it. Talk to each other. And again, you know, they don't make traffic signs and stop signs until someone crashes.
Right.
So when you see somebody crash, when you see a friend of yours pass away at 47, that's the time to have a call, a conversation with everybody about how everybody's doing. When's the last time you've been to the doctor? What's your blood pressure? You know, did you get such and such vaccinations? What, you know, like, have these conversations. And the more we talk about it and the more we're honest about it, the easier it is for us to do, because everybody's thinking the same thing. It's just that we're all kind of keeping it to ourselves.
Do your patients, Dr. Coleman, do they come in alone, or do they come in with relatives and mates and the like?
You know, I would say for the most part, they come in alone. And that's fine. You know, I want them to come in. But I think you made a couple of good points about honesty and trust. You have to be honest with yourself first. If you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest with?
Right.
And you have to trust. You have to trust someone. And if you're a person of faith, you have to trust that God put healthcare physicians on this earth to help you and to guide you. And we're hoping that He's guiding us. So the health and trust are very important. And I think this is why sometimes when we go back to the community and we go back to the church, we seem to get a lot more participation in Black men coming to see their doctor. So I would say that that's very important. Certainly the relatives and family members do sometimes come in, but for the most part, most men come in by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I, and this is, you know, my own, you know, personal experience, and I've spoken about this on this program quite some time. I quit smoking on November 13th of 2001, having smoked for 20 years. And I smoked, and I was a smoker. I mean, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. 3 packs a day.
Wow.
I enjoyed it. And my buddies that I grew up with, smoking. And I saw one of them on Saturday, and I had forgotten that he still smokes. And I had a clutch the pearls moment, because I assumed that he had quit. And I was reminded, you know, after, and we're talking now 40 years of friendship. And I said to him, when are you going to quit smoking? And then I remembered one of our other close buddies, 41 years of friendship. And I said, you need to call him. We have to work this out.
Yeah.
Because my smoking habit was much more severe. I smoked more cigarettes than the two of them combined, but quit. And I've not regretted it. And I'm still working on them to quit. And so whether you're talking about prostate health down under, lung health up top, mental health, it, you know, between your ears, you know, even if you're just ashy and need some lotion, you know, to take care of your skin. I just really think it is so important that Black men bond over this health issue, because you just don't know.
And it's just like when you're on a plane before you take off, they say, look, if it goes down and those masks drop, take care of yourself first so you can take care of other people. You're no good to anybody if you're not healthy. So know where you are, know where you stand, so you can fix these things, so you can be, if anything, there for yourself. And at the most, there for your community, there for your family, there for the people that love and care about you.
I think that's a great place to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Pamela Coleman and Cootie Mack, for joining us in this conversation. No Shave November. Hey, look, even when you start shaving on December 1st, make sure that you take care of yourselves, everybody. Dr. Coleman, again, it's good to see you. Cootie, again, good to see you, too. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, November 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection.